people out there in Radio Land. This is Joe, usually from Beats in the Basement. This is a special hour dedicated to Moses Mays. We're going to have a call from the guys earlier on as they're going to be playing here at the Gallery Pub at UBC tonight. So a little bit later, we're going to give away some more tickets, and we're just going to play some more of their music, as this is off their last album, Needle to the Groove, from the self-titled song is also called Needle to the Groove. We're going to play some of their new stuff. Basically, it comes out November 9th. It's called Second Ring. If you don't know, they're a funk fusion band, seven-piece, with the front guy as a DJ. So they're going to explain a little bit more later on as they're going to call up. And, we're going to play some more of their music.
We'll be right back. share the funk, your beat will never stop. We're from way back, the thought we never lack.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, home of Moses Mays for the next hour. And I guess on air right now, we got Grant. How's it going?
Not bad, man. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Where are you guys right now?
We are in Grand Forks, British Columbia. It's a little bit outside Nelson. And we played Nelson last night, and we're on our way to Vancouver now to come play there.
Nice. You guys have a crazy schedule. You guys are driving each day and making it to the show just in time, or what's the deal?
Yeah, most cases. Yeah, we really squeezed this tour in about 2 weeks. So it's been a little bit of a hectic one in regards to the tour schedule. Usually we go for about a month, but this time around it was just squeezing 2 weeks. Winter touring's not so fun, so it could be a little daunting, especially driving in the mountains here.
It's a beautiful view, though.
Oh, it's awesome, man. It's absolutely beautiful out here right now. I mean, I'm in my hoodie back home in Winnipeg already wearing winter jackets, so. Mm-hmm.
Well, the song that we just heard was Rocket So Hard, and that's off an EP that you guys just released before, I guess, the full-length album comes out, right?
Yeah. The EP was, we recorded, the record, Second Ring, which is coming out on November 7th, we recorded that springtime, but the EP was just something that... I went through a lot of changes with the band, and some permanent members had left, so our kind of a writing style change. But that was just some of like more electronic-driven stuff that we were just working on in our jam space in our own studio, and we thought they were pretty good. So we wanted to share them with people. It's not normally what we do. Obviously, we tour the big 7-piece band most of the time. So, but we thought the tracks were pretty strong, and we're like, heck, let's just put it out there, and we have something new for everybody to listen to.
So this was before you guys kind of ensembled the new band together, or.
Yeah, like right now, I mean, it's kind of the band right now is kind of working almost like a collective. I mean, our longtime bass player and trumpet player had left the band last year, and our drummer who's been with us for years is kind of in and out, and he's back with us on this tour. But we kind of have this rotating collective of guys from Winnipeg, and they're all really, really great jazz players. So they just add another level to the playing, which is great, and really, really contribute to the band, their abilities and their ideas. So it's kind of a big open thing. Obviously, the core writers are me, Nathan Reimer, and Mark Penner. But we certainly totally welcome new guys. It's great to have some new blood in the band. You know, every tour, everyone's really excited, and again, they're just such sick players. It's great to play with them every night.
Well, you guys also have a variety of singers that come along with you, like Sherry St. Germain, Fat Al, and
yeah. Unfortunately, like we kind of afford or squeeze them into the van at this point in our careers, but when they are in town or in the town we're playing, they definitely join us on stage. Like, I think Sherry will probably be joining us tonight. She's in Vancouver, and every time we're in Toronto, you know, Nigel and Fat Al come up on stage with us. But we thought, you know, we still want to play those songs live, and especially on the new record, Second Ring, we've got four vocal tracks, and so we're really battling about how we're going to do this. So, I mean, with the magic of Serato, however you want to call it, we do all the vocals off the turntable, so it's almost like a... It's almost the idea of a DJ doing a live remix, taking an acapella and putting it over a different beat. So it's kind of the same concept. We were trying to think about would people, you know, embrace that. And when I kind of said to the guys, you know, this is something that I do a lot in my DJ sets. So I don't think it's anything people would find too weird. Some people kind of look up on stage and go, where the fuck is the singer? There's no singer. And but it's gone over very well. I mean, as far as we're concerned.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking to Grant from Moses Mays, who's the, I guess, the front man at of Moses. I guess you're the front man, right? Like you
yeah.
every show.
I'm up front with the turntables. Like, I think I'm the only DJ in the world that probably fronts a band.
Yeah, that's the first time I saw it. I mean, the first time I saw you guys was 2 years ago at the Media Club,
mm-hmm.
and I guess. There's the first time that I've ever seen a DJ up front of a, you know, like a 6-piece or 7-piece funk band.
Yeah, it was kind of odd. Like, I mean, when we started at Winnipeg playing at this Jamaican bar called Braemar Bakery, I kind of just stumbled upon the band. I showed up there to play with a different band, but that band had got fired, and these guys showed up instead. And I knew a couple of them from back in the day, and our drummer Anton, like him and my dad grew up together and actually played in a band together, so we're kind of like a second generation playing together. So they were like, oh, why don't you stay in jam? So eventually I just kept showing up. They kept asking me back, and people were like, you know, no one's talking to the crowd. So they said, hey, Grant, you want to take a mic and talk to the crowd? Because we don't. And that's sort of just kind of, that's how it kind of turned out. I just ended up with the one with the microphone and hosting the mic.
So just for our listeners out there, can you tell them, like, how it works? You know, like, do you play different cuts from, like, just different LPs that you have? Or, like, how does it work?
Yeah, traditionally it's kind of all over the map, you know, like even from, you know, jazz records with just, you know, like bass or guitar or horn solos. I use clips from, I mean, anything and everything. It's mostly vocal clips, a couple scratch, that, you know, I obviously do a lot of scratch, you know, have a couple solos and stuff like that. But obviously with Serato, it's been really cool. We've been able to make our own samples and really customize the set a lot with that. I mean, on records... You know, I've always been a fan of DJs and bands, but at the same time, you got to really, you know, you don't want to over-scratch because, you know, even for me, scratch can get kind of overbearing sometimes, especially in a big band like this. I mean, there's so much going on. So, you know, it's a tough thing to do, you know, to come up with ideas for instrumental stuff. And obviously, finding samples is one of the most tedious processes you'll ever go through.
Do you find it hard to, is it something that you want to get onto a major label with, is it hard if you wanted to get on a major label because you guys take cuts from different genres and stuff, and it's hard to get, rights to do that, or is that a deal?
Well, that's always been a thing with clearing samples. I mean, you know, there's so many, you could talk to a lot of people in the industry. I mean, there's major label guys who've never cleared samples and they get caught, or I know guys who've used samples and, you know, for Canadian Idol contestants, and no one's ever said a bloody thing. Obviously, yeah, when you're on a major, it's definitely more of a concern. When you're independent, it's I mean, it's a little bit more lenient. I mean, we're not making tons of cash. I mean, that's what people are interested in. I mean, we'd love to clear samples, but it's tough, man. It's really hard to find, you know, some of the publishers. I mean, even some of the people that are the right people to speak with and who owns the songs and stuff like that. But, I mean, the difference with us is that we don't... We don't use, you know, whole samples like a hip hop band, like a traditional kind of sampling thing.
Yeah.
So we're not sampling a whole song. They're really small snippets and stuff like that. So, I mean, we know how it works, and I mean, you know, we'll gladly. I mean, if one of our songs gets huge and all of a sudden we're, you know, it's propelled, we'll definitely, you know, honor anything that we have to do to get samples cleared. But it is definitely a big mess. It is such a mess in the industry with clearing samples right now. It's definitely a really tough process.
Has anyone ever approached you about that, or is that...
No. I mean, you know, we're a popular band, but I don't think we're big enough that anyone really cares. And, I mean, if you're going to sample James Brown, I mean, you got to be careful, right? And I know Chaos on his last record, the B-Boy Stance, he never cleared that. And when his album blew up, obviously, then EMI had to deal with it, and obviously they cleared it. But, I mean, you know, there's you rarely hear of artists having to pull their records because the samples wasn't cleared, unless it's like a Beatles or James Brown or Elvis kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it all depends, I think, about what kind of samples you're using. And you know, again, if you're an independent artist, I mean, I'm sure there's so many records out there that have samples that no one's ever cleared that, I mean, how do you keep track of that stuff? It's really tough.
Well, I mean, it's definitely, I the only thing I've heard is, like, you know, exactly what you say is, like, as soon as you start making the real money, I guess that's when they come knocking on your door.
And yeah, you know, and guys I know in the hip-hop industry that do a lot of sampling are like, you know, and if a song blows up, who cares? Your song blew up, you know?
Yeah, no doubt.
That's what you want, right? So, and I mean, being an instrumental band, it's definitely tough. I mean, I know major labels, you know, not very interested in instrumental bands like us, you're looking for like, you know, mid-sized label, something like Ninja Tune or even Moax and something like that. But I mean, on this new record, we and on the EP for that matter, we've been dipping into doing vocals and working with different vocalists, and it's a lot of fun. You know, it might sound a lot different to our traditional fan base, but really, I mean, as far as we see it, I mean, the vocals on our albums, I mean, that's what we'd sound like if we had vocals. And, you know, we finally got around to it this year, and we found some singers and some artists that we were real comfortable working with and really dug, and they really dug what we were doing. So it really worked out. I'm really proud of the vocal tracks that we did with those guys on the new record.
Do you find as an instrumental band that, you know, bringing different artists in that, you know, they kind of want you to be their band kind of thing?
Yeah, the approach is, I mean, here and there. I mean, it's really tough. It all depends who you're working with, because I mean, most people that we are working with, I mean, are doing their own thing as well. So, I mean, we'd love, you know, and they would love to come with us and join us. I mean, is it a viable option? Can you afford to tour and not make much money? You know, it's difficult when you're an independent band and you're basically your own record label, because you're fronting all the money to do the record, you're fronting all the money to do the marketing, and you're working really hard. So, you know, yeah, I mean, obviously people do want to work with us. We get a lot of requests, and we try and work with as many people as we can.
Well, you guys, if Fusion 3 is your label, is that something you guys own?
No, Fusion 3 is our distributor.
Oh, okay.
And they distribute a lot of different dance music. Dublin Records is our own record company that we released all four of our records on. And Fusion 3 really takes care of a lot of the distribution. So it's available in every store in Canada, basically, or you can order it through. So they've been really good. Fusion's treated us really well, and they definitely help out a whole lot. And it's great to be on there, because we've always kind of wanted to have a distributor that's kind of in our genre, and then they're definitely there.
So are you guys distributed through the States as well, or?
No, we don't have distribution in the U.S. yet. I mean, it's something we're working on. We're launching Second Ring in the U.K., and actually we've just got some calls from Australia out of the blue from some people, and so we really think this new record we did is going to strike a chord, and especially with the vocal tracks. Obviously, it makes it a lot more accessible, which is a great thing, because, you know, we're looking to grow, and we've been doing this for 7 years, and it's time to, you know, not move in a totally different direction, but definitely do something that's fresh.
I hear that. I saw that you DJed with DJ Co-op in Saskatoon there for a little while back. Do you go and DJ, like, do you just go by yourself and DJ clubs, and do you have like a club night or thing?
Oh yeah, I spend a lot in Winnipeg, and I make some trips out to Saskatoon, Regina. I've done a couple shows here and there in Toronto. I mean, obviously I'm not a huge name DJ, but yeah, people put me out, and, you know, I usually play funk, old school hip hop, and, you know, party tracks, and basically, you know, do the good old mashup. So yeah, definitely spin a lot of my own, and it's great, obviously, having Moses Mays behind the name, because I do get bookings for that as well.
Nice. What are some of the, like, local artists, like Canadian artists, that you're kind of digging right now?
Oh, man. Actually, you know, I really dig the new Chaos record. I've always been a big fan of Chaos. I mean, I've been watching that guy kind of bloom since, like, I was, like, 16. But, you know, locally in Winnipeg, I mean, as far as funk goes, I mean, you may want to check out the Hummers. That's probably the closest kind of vein of music that's coming out of there. Kobayashi in Montreal is a good, great band that we really enjoy. And
the Hummers? From Winnipeg?
The Hummers, yeah. The Hummers are like a Winnipeg. I mean, they were like basically the same setup as us, and they're like a Winnipeg institution like us. They've released like 6 records, and they're really great. They're a great band and really cool guys. Unfortunately, they've never gone out and, you know, spread their music further than Winnipeg. So it's kind of unfortunate that the rest of Canada doesn't get to hear the Hummers as much as we do. But it's a really good. Really good music scene. I mean, obviously the Pocket Dwellers out of Toronto and God Made Me Funky and 5LM Funk from Vancouver. Those guys are great, man. Those guys are a fun band.
Yeah, they play a lot here in Vancouver. I was reading somewhere that I guess you guys played with Ivana Santilli back in the Commodore a little too.
Yeah, we've actually had the fortunate pleasure of playing the Commodore a couple times. Once for the Jazz Fest with Ivana Santilli on Canada Day. That was amazing. And we played there last year for the Western Canadian Music Awards, which was also great. So we've had some really success in Vancouver, actually, especially over the last 3 years. We've really watched our fan base grow there. And I mean, back in the day when we first gig we ever played there was about 6 years ago, and we used to play the Purple Onion all the time. And And then the media club shows have always been great, so we're really looking forward. We never played the Gallery Lounge, so we're hoping you know, a lot of people come out and come check it out. Every show on this tour has just been sold out and packed. So
nice.
So Vancouver, keep it going, baby.
I also saw your very first tour, I guess, in 2000 or 2001. That went on for like 3 months or something, no?
Oh, man, yeah. That was the first record. I mean, that's when we were young and stupid and toured our asses off for like 7 months. But those were some really good days, really good days. And, yeah, it was really fun back then.
Cool, man. I'm. Do you want to stay on the line? I'm just gonna play. I'm gonna play a track off your off the new album, if that's all right.
You know what, man? We gotta get rocking here.
We gotta get going.
Vancouver.
All right, man.
I'll stay on the line with you guys, and if the cell phone cuts out, man, we'll keep talking. But yeah, we gotta get moving here. I think we still got like 8 hours to go.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so you're just gonna be making it just in time, eh?
Hell yeah! No checking into the hotel room, man. Straight to the stage.
Fair enough. All right, I'm gonna play. Because I just have to off the off Second Ring, if that's all right with you.
Sounds great.
All right, man, hang on a sec.
Phase two is broken up into two parts.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, home of Beats of the Basement here this Thursday. We're filling in, talking to Grant from Moses Maze as we missed you last Saturday because I guess you guys were playing in Saskatoon at the exact same time as my show was on.
Yeah, you know, and the show ended in time, and then just, man, after a show, you just get such a huge barrage of people chatting with you, and you're just kind of, you know, all like, and I got back to the hotel that night and I went, oh, damn, I forgot to call.
I know how it is after a show. It's like, you know, you have that high of just playing, and then everyone's trying to get a piece of you guys and talk and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, man. Here's by the merch booth selling CDs. Bye.
Yeah.
Please. Saskatoon was great. It was a really good show. We've always had a really good following there, so it was really great.
Are you guys selling the new CD, or are you guys selling...
No, we do have it with us. Like we were saying before, Second Ring comes out on November 7th, but we did get some copies before we headed on the road, so we do have the new record with us, and... Yeah, it should be hitting all the radio stations in the next couple of weeks, so we're hoping that's kind of why we're on the road right now, is get out here and promote the record a little bit, and then sit back home and let the record work itself on the radio, and head back out once the snow melts.
Nice. Yeah, because I have the password to your guys' site, and I just played Second Ring.
Yeah.
No, you're not going to hear it anywhere else for a little bit, I guess.
No. I think like all the CDs just got mailed out. I think last Monday.
So nice. So on this new album, you guys were saying they're trying to capture a little bit of your live show. As your live show is kind of, you know, you got a lot of energy, and it's your, it's kind of where you guys shine. And I guess you were feeling that on the other albums that you're kind of losing that a little bit, or.
I think it just all boils down to the production of the record and who you're working with. And I mean, you know, you work with what you got. And when we did Needle to the Groove, we were just kind of starting the band back up again, and we didn't have much money. And so, you know, our funds were limited, and also our time. We really wanted to get a new record out before we even thought about going back out on the road. And, you know, it is what it is. We were really happy with it. And so and this time around, we started chatting with Jamie Shields with a new deal, and kind of started sending him some of the demo tracks, and he was really interested, and you know, we're all big fans of the new deal and really like the production on their records.
Nice.
And it just sort of happened to work out. You know, we got some grants, and you know, we saved up some dough and spent the cash that we needed to get the record that we wanted. And certainly you know, with the production, but also with the whole songwriting, certainly Jamie really helped us refine a lot of the songs, and like we were talking about, is just making something a little bit more accessible to, you know, to everybody. And especially with the vocal songs, I mean, that's really new for us. You know, I was telling you off air, you know, it's if we had a vocalist all these years, it's pretty much what we... But Jamie and Adam White, who is the engineer, they did a fantastic job, and they went beyond our expectations to really nail down a record that we thought really well represented what we're all about and what we are like live. And hopefully we can capture more fans through the record and instead of, you know, touring like mad and really selling us on our live show. So we're really excited about that prospect.
Have you ever thought of like actually recording stuff live? Like, is that kind of hard, or?
We do record every night onto a mini disc, but I mean, it's just a mix off the board. You know, to really do something properly live is, you know, setting up a whole different recording rig and obviously rehearsing like that and trying to play the perfect show, right?
Yeah.
And that's what it all boils down to. And, you know, we're tight, we're good, but there's just some nights where things just don't click, or, you know, those little things. But I think it's just setting up the proper, basically, circumstances for recording a live show. I mean, I'm sure down the line we'd love to get one out and do it, but do it right and in the right circumstances at the right venue and all that stuff. So.
Well, I think one of the things of the live show is that you kind of get the jazz element as you guys kind of go on a little bit of a, I guess, freestyle version of stuff, like you go on a jam a little bit. And
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, there's some improvisation, and sometimes songs will break, and then everything like that, and horn solos. I mean, most of the time the solos are signaled, you know. So yeah, definitely the show. You'll see a lot more extensions in the songs, and a little bit of variation, and definitely a lot longer solos. I mean, and then that's what the live show is all about. You know, people enjoy your record, but when you see a band live, it's great to see them do something a little bit different with a song.
Oh,
and, and even with older material, we're always constantly reworked.
I totally agree with that. Are you still there? Oh, I think you're breaking out. Well, we're just talking to Grant from Moses Mays. He's going to be here at the Gallery Lounge at UBC at, doors open 9 o'clock. You can, we lost him. But they're driving from Nelson, as they just played in Nelson last night. They're on a little bit of a tour. We're going to keep on playing some music off their new album, Second Ring. You can... can't get in stores till November 7th, but we're going to play some stuff. And if you go to the show tonight, you can actually buy the CD, and you can buy their EP, LP, which is, we played it earlier, it's Rocket Hard. A little bit of Herbie Hancock flavor to that. I'm going to play some Full Moon, which is Fat Al, and kind of the vocalist side of what we were talking about there. But we're going to give away some tickets as well. If you can name... the album off their new album. Give me a shout, 604-822-2487.
Yeah. Space and time. sound. I'll manipulate the mind with a brand new sound. I'll manipulate the brand new sound. I'll manipulate the mind with a brand new sound. I'll manipulate the mind with a brand new sound. I'll manipulate the brand new sound.
Number one should result in a noticeable improvement in the overall sound quality of your stereo system.